If you're an Arizona homeowner that pays more than $67 a month,
you know he's awesome. Come on, stand on your feet, everybody. If you know he's awesome, you're in awe of his grace. You're in awe of his goodness. You're in awe of his mercy. You're in awe of his provision. He's great and he's greatly to be praised. Hallelujah.
Lift your hands as we lift our voices. Come on, say, my God is awesome. Come on, say, he can move mountains.
He can move mountains.
Keep me in the valley.
Keep me in the valley.
Come on, say it. Hide me from the rain.
Hide me from the rain.
That's it. My God is awesome.
My God is awesome.
Come on. Heals me when I'm broken.
Heals me when I'm broken.
Strength where I've been weakened.
Strength where I've been weak.
Forever he'll reign.
Forever he will reign.
Come on, you got it. My God is awesome.
My God is.
He can move mountains.
He can move mountains.
Keep me in the valley.
Keep me in the valley.
Hide me from the rain. Has he ever covered you? Come on. My God is awesome.
My God is awesome.
Heals me when I'm broken.
Heals me when I'm broken.
Strength where I've been weakened.
My God is awesome. Come on, somebody. Somebody ought to praise him. Ah.
Awesome.
My God is
awesome.
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 Awesome. Savior of the whole world,
of salvation.
Of salvation.
By his stripes,
by his stripes I am healed.
By his stripes
I am healed.
Listen, today I am forgiven.
Oh, glory to God.
His grace is why I'm living. Somebody.
My God is awesome.
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 Awesome. My God is awesome.
Come on, look back over your life.
Look back over your life and see what he's done. Yes. Oh, glory to God.
Let's talk about why he's awesome. You said he's mighty.
He's mighty. Come on.
Mighty.
Awesome.
Awesome.
He's holy. He's holy. He's holy. He's holy. Awesome. Awesome.
Give him
your first fruit, sir. He's great, awesome, he's mighty, he's mighty, he's mighty, awesome. Oh, yes. Deliverer. Deliverer, 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 awesome. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God.
Ooh.
He's holy. He's holy. He's holy. He's holy. Awesome. Thank you, Jesus. Provider. Has he been your provider? Oh, let's praise him this morning. Somebody ought to praise him this morning. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Is he your protector? Has he been your protector? Somebody ought to praise him this morning. He's awesome. He can move mountains. Keep me in the valley. Hide me from the rain. Yeah. Ah, glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. The Lord. Holy name. Somebody ought to celebrate. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Well, good morning, everyone. God bless you this morning. I welcome you. My lovely wife, Lady Ebon, is there. I welcome you, Brother Kolapo, Sister Mary, Sister Grace, Sister Michelle. Good to see you, Brother Yomi. Welcome, everyone. It is a good day. Hallelujah. It is a great day, as a matter of fact. And we've got, you know, an amazing time that we will be spending in his presence this morning. My goodness, the Lord's been blessing. The Lord's been giving us victory, and he's been giving us encouragement. And today is another victory room, another encouragement room. I welcome every one of you. I want as many people as can today to join me on stage, because we're going to be doing prophetic prayers. You say, what is prophetic prayers? Well, I will be explaining it in a little bit. But first, I welcome all of you. And, you know, I want you to share the room. It's just let people know where we are. You know, we are going to have an awesome time in his presence. I believe it's going to be fire in here this morning. Glory to God. Well, our theme scripture, as always, for this room, since we started it every morning, by the grace of God, we started October 1. And today is December 1. And I have a prophetic word for December 1 as well. But before we get there, our theme scripture is Leviticus 6, 12 and 13. The priests must bring wood every morning, laid in order upon the altar, and crank up the fire. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. And they must not allow the fire to go out. The fire must always be burning. Hallelujah. Now, it is another opportunity for us right now to share the word of God and to share prayer together and to crank up that fire. Glory to God. Let's crank it up some, you know. Let's crank it up. Let's crank it up. Let's crank it up. This is time in his presence. And you know, when we spend time in his presence, you know what he does, among other things? You know, we call him Redeemer. We don't call him Redeemer for nothing. The Lord can redeem that time. Hallelujah. The time that you spend in his presence, not just in this room, you know, whatever time, you know, that you spend in his presence, you know, thinking of nothing else, you know, withholding nothing and just being in his presence. That time the Lord is able to redeem. I have seen it multiple times. He can redeem that time for you. You spend an hour in his presence. The Lord will cause sometime down the road that time to be redeemed for you. You may be able to accomplish something in amazing time. Maybe it'll take you only 20 minutes to do something that could have taken you 3 hours, or the Lord will save you from some trouble. He may not tell you that that's the reason that he did it was associated with a particular time you spent in his presence, but that's how it works, because he's called a Redeemer. Glory to God. So, Welcome this morning. You know, let's share the room, share it on Clubhouse, share it to your friends, and we're going to get started right here. You know, it's an amazing time in his presence. You know, today is day one of month 12. Well, our own month 12. You know, our calendar is, of course, you know, different than the way, you know, God had it in the Bible for the Jewish people. But nonetheless, you know, I'm not a Jew. So I go with the calendar that I have. And the one that we have says that today is day one of month 12. And let's see what the Lord will do for us on such a day as this. Well, are you excited? I am fired up. Are you fired up? Of course. You know, let's be fired up when the time we come into his presence. Fired up means we're excited. You know, we are in anticipation and expectation, you know, of something great that the Lord is going to do. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Well, first I'm going to read a scripture, then we're going to get into the prophetic prayers. Hallelujah. And let me describe what prophetic prayers mean. So I'm sure many of us in the room already know that. But it's literally taking the word of God, you know, to pray or to speak over situations. And it becomes prophetic because it's God's word. God's word is always prophetic. You know, so if you are able, if you do your due diligence to find the word that pertains to the situation, or the Holy Spirit brings it to your mind, which he does. That's one of the things he does. Jesus said, when the Holy Spirit comes, he will bring to your remembrance things which I have already told you. If the Holy Spirit brings it to your remembrance, or you search the scriptures and find the word that is pertinent to the situation, or the Holy Spirit himself gives you a direct word. He can do that too. Either way, and then you turn around and use that word, you know, to pray and to remind the Lord of what he already said, you know. And then it becomes what we call a prophetic prayer. Now, prophetic prayer doesn't mean you have to be a prophet, you know, to be able to do that. Well, you could be a prophet. That's good. You may have the prophetic gift. That's good too. But this word by itself is already prophetic in itself. And if you know how to use the word, it can bring the same impact, you know, as though a prophet spoke it, or as though the prophetic gift declared it. It's the same thing, because the word in itself sustains itself. So the word of God always sustains itself. Once the word of God is spoken, you know, God has, in fact, Psalm 68 verse 11 tells us, when God declares the word, great is the company that publishes it. Well, he's got company, you know, in the heavenly realm to publish things. We've got a role to play upon the earth. The role that two of us play, we who are upon the earth and the heavenly company, that role is described in Psalm 103 and verse 20. In Psalm 103 verse 20, it says, praise ye the Lord, ye heavenly hosts, especially the angels that excel in strength, that, you know, do his commandments, hearkening to the voice of his word. So those angels, they do his commandments when they hear the voice of his word. Well, who gives voice to his word? Well, the Lord can do that in the heavens, you know, but we also can do that upon the earth. You know, we can take his word and give voice to it. That's right. We take that written word, we verbalize it, we speak it. Hallelujah. And when we speak it, the Lord said, as you have spoken, in my ears, so will I do even unto you. That's why we got to be very careful not to speak anything negative, because negative stuff, you know, may carry some unintended consequences when we speak negatively, you know, with our mouth. You know, it carries some unintended consequences. We need to be very intentional, you know, very, very intentional, you know, as we, you know, as we pray and use the word of God. Numbers 14 and verse 28 says unto them, say, you know, he says, say unto them, as truly as I live, saith the Lord, as he has spoken in my ears, so will I do to you. Well, in this particular case, it was negative stuff that they spoke, you know, but the concept is still the same. These people say we can't do it. Well, the Lord said, well, you won't do it. You know, well, we can say, you know, I can do it. And then the Lord said, yeah, you will do it. You know, so as you speak, you know, in his ears, the Lord said, so will I do unto you. Father, we pray over this room this morning in the name of the Lord Jesus. Everyone that's coming into this room, everyone that's currently here, and the word that we shall share together, thy word is always a lamp to our feet, a, you know, light to our path ahead of us. And we thank you because the entrance thereof brings light and gives understanding to the simple. So as we enter into his presence this morning, we come not empty-handed, but we come with the word. That's right. We enter first with our praises, then we present the word, and we speak the word before the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And today we speak your word. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And let that word have the power, you know, the efficacy of that word. Let it go forth this morning. Bible says, my word shall not return unto me void, but it will go forth and accomplish the thing whereunto I sent it, prosper in that which I please. You know, as we speak it this morning, prophetically, you know, when you, the way prophecy works is, we don't need to watch over the word. God is the one that watches over his word to fulfill it. So when we prophetically put it out there, you just go by, you know, on your business, and that word will sustain itself. You know, God doesn't need any helpers for that word. And if he didn't, he can command myriads of angels, you know, as it is written in Psalm 68, verse 11. You know, but on our part, we put it out there, you know, and you let it be, and God will bring it to pass. Glory to God. More especially when the Holy Spirit has already confirmed it, you know, so, you know, and that's what we're going to be doing this morning. Isaiah 43 and verse 26. The Lord said, you know, put me in remembrance and let us plead together. Declare it that thou mightest be justified. You know, so those are all the background for prophetic prayers. But let's talk about, you know, the spoilers that have been spoiling God's people. On a day such as this, you know, the number 12 is actually very significant in scripture. And I want to read, just a verse, you know, maybe more than a verse, a text out of Ezekiel chapter 32. And then we're going to get into it. Well, Ezekiel 32 says, it came to pass in the 12th year. Well, forget the 12th year for now. In the 12th month, in the first day of the month, such as this, that the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, son of man, take up a lamentation for Pharaoh, king of Egypt. And what is that lamentation? Well, before we go to that lamentation, let me remind you that in the book of Genesis chapter 15, God said to Abraham, he gave him a promise. But even before that, he was telling him that, look, I want you to know of a surety that your people will become a stranger in a land that is not theirs. And the people will afflict them 400 years. This is Genesis chapter 15 and verse 13. The Lord said to Abraham, know of a surety that thy seed, well, Abraham didn't even have a seed then, that thy seed shall be a stranger in a land that is not theirs and shall serve them, and they shall afflict them 400 years. Well, that's not the part I want to talk about. But the part I want to talk about today is the next verse. And also that nation, which was the nation of Egypt and Pharaoh, whom they shall serve, will I judge. And afterward, they shall come out with great substance. You know, so anytime you see prophecy against Egypt and against Pharaoh in the word of God, it goes right back to this thing here. And the Lord said, I will judge that nation. Well, let's put it this way. You know, today we don't live in Egypt. We're not under that physical taskmaster that they had back then, or those physical taskmasters. But the concept is the same. You know, people are, some of God's people, many in fact, are under spiritual Egypt and being tormented by Pharaoh, and they have different taskmasters. But Jesus also said, look, when a strong man is keeping his own things, his goods, and he thinks he's at peace in his palace, but when a stronger than he shall come upon him, well, he will bind him and then he will spoil his goods. So we can spoil the spoilers. Well, the word of God has actually done it. He said, I will spoil the nation that spoiled you. That's what he said. So when Ezekiel began to take up a lamentation against Egypt, well, there were many times that God spoiled Egypt. He spoiled them physically during the time that he delivered Israel by a strong hand under Pharaoh, I mean from under Pharaoh through the ministry of Moses and Aaron back there. We know the stories. But even, you know, God used to prophesy against that nation. And here's one of them, you know, take up that lamentation in Ezekiel, you know, chapter 32. Against Egypt because of all the evil, and think of it this time around as spiritual Egypt. And what was the what is the thing that spiritual Egypt has in common with the old Egypt back then? Well, when Moses appeared before Pharaoh and said, you know, let my people go. And Pharaoh said, look, these people are idle. They are idle. And so that's why they say, I want to go and serve the Lord. And he refused them. And he said, look, let there be their burdens made even stronger. You know, let their chains be stronger. Make their tasks harder. Give them no straw for the bricks. Let them go get it from themselves. Lay more burden upon them because they are idle. And they are idle. And that's why they say we want to go serve the Lord. You know, so let there be more burden laid upon them. Well, that's what Pharaoh said. And so till this day, that is still the same tactic. You know, lay more burden upon people of God, so they will not have time to worship the Lord. Give them more hardship. Come against them in many ways. Whether it's themselves, their loved ones, their children, their job, their finances, whatever. Let there be more burdens laid on them. Let them have more bills to pay, so they won't have time for the Lord. Let them have, you know, all kinds of things. Just lay it upon them. You know, so they will not be able to say, you know, we have time to go worship the Lord, you know. He said, well, so that's a tactic, an old tactic. And he's still doing it till today. you know, try to lay more burden. And that's why the word of the Lord comes up against Pharaoh and against Egypt. You know that, look, you've done all of these things, but now it is your turn to receive the judgment from the hand of the Lord. And, you know, you just have to go read all the things that the Lord, the exchanges that God had between himself and Pharaoh in the book of Exodus. And all the things that happened that God did over there. But the same thing, you know, we can spiritually compare it to our time. You know, Pharaoh put those people in serious servitude. Because this was a Pharaoh that knew not Joseph. And tormented them for 400 years until the time for the promise came. Hallelujah. And there's always a time for the promise. When the time of the promise draws near, then God begins to orchestrate things. Because his word, he watches over that word. And he knows, you know, what he has said, how he's going to punish that nation. And so all of the oppressors, it is time for they themselves to receive oppression from the Lord. It is time for us to put spiritual handcuffs on those that have tried and things that have tried to restrain us. And so we're going to use the word of the Lord. That's what's called prophetic prayers. We're going to use the word of God. We may even prophesy point blank, but be that as it may, we will use the word of the Lord to bring to pass that judgment that is written. You know, the Bible says in Psalm 147, he said, look, let the high praises of God be in the mouth of God's people, and a sharp two-edged sword in their hand, you know, that they may smite and execute, you know, judgment upon the heathen and upon, you know, things such as spiritual Egypt and Pharaoh that have been binding and exerting affliction upon God's people. It's time to turn their tables around. Glory to God. And God said himself, look, I will bless whomsoever and whatsoever is a blessing to you. And I will curse and be against whatsoever is a curse and against you. So the Lord already said that. But for us, we are enforcers. You know, so let's enforce some things today. You know, so the word of the Lord against spiritual Pharaoh and spiritual Egypt today is found in Ezekiel chapter 32. And the Lord said, look, I will bring you down. I will put you upon the ground. I will take you out. You know, I'll use some strong language here. You know, I will take you out, actually, he said, because of all the things that you've done to the people of the Lord. You know, the Lord, he said, when I shall do this thing, I will put you on the ground, you know, and cause the birds of the air and everything like that, you know, and they will make the place desolate. He said, when I shall make the land of Egypt desolate, well, think of it as spiritually today. Of course, you know, physically, yes, but think of it spiritually, you know, that all these things, all the plans of the enemy against God's people, all that God, you know, I mean, all that the devil, spiritual Egypt, has done to God's children. The Lord said, look, in Ezekiel 32 and verse 7, and when I shall put thee out, when I will take you out, glory to God, God come out against this thing, I will take you out. You know, I will put you down. I will leave your land desolate. I will cast you forth upon the open field. I will cause the fowls of the air, you know, come upon you and so forth like that. And all of this, he said, on the first day of the 12th month, such as is, the word of the Lord came to the prophet Ezekiel to take up this lamentation against Pharaoh and the king of Egypt. So today, let's enact the same. You know, the word of God is actually eternal. You can take anything in the Word of God, and you can set your mind just right, and you can bring it. You know, people used to quote the Word of God freely in the Scriptures. You know, I remember Peter on the day of Pentecost quoting the prophecy of Joel, where he said, "In the last days, I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh." And Peter is saying that this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. Well, you know, last days, that was 2,000 years ago. So today, if we have a serious outpouring of the Holy Spirit moving upon young people, which we are seeing, you know, and so forth, the young generation has gone astray, but yet God is moving seriously upon some of them. And we can also say, this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. And so the Word of God is eternal like that. Anytime, you know, that we can latch onto it by faith, we can cause it to be effective, you know, and we can, you know, just link up with that word. It's so powerful. You know, so today we are taking up a lamentation against the forces of Egypt, the forces of Pharaoh that have troubled God's people. And one of the things we're going to also be doing here is also doing some commanding prayers. That's also part of prophetic prayers. When the Lord said in Isaiah 45 and 11, he said, "Look, ask me of things to come concerning my sons and concerning the works of my hands, command ye me." I mean, the Lord put it out there. Can you do it? Can you do that? You know, can you? There's a man in the Bible called Joshua. In the book of Joshua, chapter 10, verses 12 to 14, the Bible says that he actually commanded the works of God's hands, but he was speaking to the Lord, but he was actually speaking to the sun and the moon. I mean, how does that work? Well, let's take a look. Joshua chapter 10, verses 12. And you know the story of Joshua, you know, fighting Amorites and all that, you know. So then spake Joshua to the Lord, Joshua 10 and 12, in the day when the Lord delivered up the Amorites before the children of Israel. And he said in the sight of Israel. Now notice he said, Joshua spoke to the Lord. Well, but let's see what Joshua actually said. You know, here's what he actually said. "Sun," S-U-N, "stand thou still over Gibeon, and thou moon in the valley of Ajalon." Well, but it says he spoke to the Lord, but he actually spoke to the sun. Well, because the Lord said, "Command ye me concerning the works of my hands." You know, so if you can speak to the sun and the moon, then you're literally speaking to the Lord. And so Joshua, he spoke to the sun and the moon. Well, we're told that he spoke to the Lord. And the sun stood still, the moon stayed, until the people had avenged themselves. Joshua said, "Look, I need more time. And I need more daylight. I need more sunlight. I can't have the sun go down. We won't be able to see what we are doing." So he spoke to the sun. He spoke to the moon. And there was no day like that before or after that the Lord hearkened to the voice of a man. Glory to God. One time, Elijah, in 1 Kings chapter 17, he came upon the scene. And here's what he said. He said, "As the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain this year, but according to my word." And he just said it and moved on. That's it. You know, he put it out there like that. "According to my word." Glory to God. You know, notice that Elijah did not even say, you know, "Thus saith the Lord" here. He said, because he already stood before the Lord. The Lord already told him what to do. See, you can't do anything. You know, in the kingdom of God, which we have been talking about the last few days, there is no movement except there is first an unction from the Lord. So Elijah already had that unction. God already spoke to him. He already stood before the Lord. He already knew what to do. So when he come out here, he's going to enact what God already told him. See, but he's going to use his very voice to command the works of God's hands. He's going to say to the heavens, you know, you heavens go on vacation. No rain until I say it again. And he's going to lock it up. That's it. You can say it by his own words, you know. So that's called commanding the works of God's hands. It's also, you know, we can use that today to do bring prophetic prayers and command situations in our time such as this, you know, and all of the evil that the enemy has brought against God's children. We're going to come against some of them today. Now, in the book of Job, chapter 38, there's an exchange here from between the Lord and Job that gives us an understanding of some things that can happen, you know, in spiritual realms, if you understand how to walk it. You know, in the book of Job 38, I'm going to read just a few verses. I'll read verse 12 and then maybe verses 31 to perhaps 35. You know, so here's what the Lord said to Job in Job 38 and verse 12. Hast thou commanded the morning since thy days? Have you caused the day spring to know his place, that he may take hold upon the ends of the earth and the wicked might be shaken out of it? And God began to ask Job many of these questions. But by God asking Job many of these questions, it actually helps us to understand, you know, some things that can be done. So, yes, indeed, you can command, you know, the morning if you know how, you know. And the Lord said, look, in Psalm 110 verse 3, he says, and we've been quoting that in this room, that in the day of God's power, we will be willing. But in the, you know, the beauties of holiness will be commanded from the womb of the morning. Glory to God. You can go, if you understand how to do it, and I'll tell you, powers of darkness, they understand some of these concepts, you know, and they try to do some things in the spiritual realm, you know, to bind, you know, the foolish and unknowing and people who, you know, subjects upon the earth, you know, so the ignorant is the word I was looking for. You know, so, but if we understand the things of God, canst thou command the morning? Glory to God. Joshua did it. He commanded the daytime. You know, can you do it? Well, let's find out if we can do it. You know, jump to verse 31 of the same thing, of the same, you know, chapter of 38 of Job. He said, look, can you bind the sweet influences of the Pleiades or loose the bands of Orion? You know, can you bring forth Maseroth and in his season? These are constellations. You know, can you guide Arcturus with his songs? And this is the part that I love. Do you know the ordinances of heaven? Can you set their dominion thereof upon the earth? Absolutely. You know, this is the secret of all things. If you know how to walk that thing, Joshua did. He knew the ordinances which God has set in the heavens. God put it there from the beginning. Let there be two great lights, one to rule the day, one to rule the night. You know, and these were ordinances. You know, he said, let there be the day and night forever. You know, and he said those ordinances. Well, until such a time when the lamp becomes the light of that city and there will be no night and day. But for now, he put those ordinances out there. And Joshua went, you know, and disrupted those ordinances. He sure did. When it was time for the sun to go down, he said, no, it's not yet time. You know, I need a few more hours. And a whole day, the sun hastened not to go down at all. You know, glory to God. You know, so do you know the ordinances of heaven? Can you set the dominion? And from this verse, we see actually that things that happen on earth are ruled from the heavens, you know, and this is what we need to understand. The people of God need to understand this, you know. Some powers of darkness understand this, and they try to use it to afflict God's children. And we need to understand it and turn the tables around. Can you do these things? Can you lift up your voice to the clouds? Can you call abundance of waters to come upon you? Well, Elijah did. You know, one time he closed up the clouds, another time he prayed for it to come. You know, and can you do these things? Can you send for lightnings that they may go and answer you? And all these things, you know. So by God asking Job these questions, we actually get some insight into what happens in the spiritual realm. Glory to God. And when you have this kind of insight, my lands, you know, you can actually do these things that God said in Isaiah 45 and 11. Say, command ye me concerning the works of my hands. Well, it didn't really look like Joshua was commanding the Lord. He was actually commanding the sun and the moon. But the commentary said he spoke to the Lord. But indeed, it was the sun that he spoke to. So that's how it works. You can command because God gave us dominion over the works of his hands from the beginning. We've been talking about it for days in this room. You know, the kingdom and the dominion. From Genesis 1:26 to 28, God gave man, that was his intent, dominion over these things. Psalm 8 talked about it as well. We covered that, I think it was even just 2 days ago. You know, so when we understand this dominion, which of course we cannot get until we are truly in his image and his likeness, God's character and the expression of his character through us, until we really align ourselves with that, we can't get true dominion. But nonetheless, what does dominion look like? It's these things that we're talking about. It's the ability to lift up your voice, you know, and command the sun and the moon. Glory to God. It's the ability for you to be able to tell the lion to sit down in the corner over there. And you can sit down with the lamb. You can sit down with the goat and the chicken. And they can't, you know, they're not even going to be wild. The ability to do all of that. Adam had that dominion. Commanded, you know, his influence. I mean, you know, governmental influence that he had over the works of God's hand. Put everything into subjection. You know, at one time, actually, God gave the same to Noah. You know, for a few days while he was gathering all the animals. And for all those days that the ark was going up and down on the sea, you know, Noah had dominion on the waters. Noah had dominion inside the ark over all the animals. You know, he would tell them to sit in the corner and behave. And that's what they did. The lion lay down there with the lamb and everything else. Nobody being wild. None of them being wild against each other. That's dominion. Glory to God. You know, so that's some real power. You talk about power. You talk about dominion. That's when you have the real power. Well, we lost that through Adam's disobedience. But any time that we can align ourselves with the word of God, we can get a little. It's called authority. Authority is a little part of that. Authority is delegated power. But dominion is do as you please. You have sovereignty. You can do anything you want. And that's where we must get back to. But before we get there, we got to align ourselves with the character of God. You can't have dominion if you don't have his character. If you are not in his image. Because if you did, you'll be killing all your enemies. You'll be calling fire down on your enemies. That's what you'll be doing. We don't call fire down on enemies here upon in this room. But we call fire down on some elements of darkness, not people. God never gave Adam dominion over people. That's witchcraft. You know, but God gave Adam dominion over the works of God's hands. The fish of the sea, the birds of the air, the cattle of the field, and over every living thing, you know, and so on. So we can have those kind of dominion. And it is time for us to put Pharaoh and Egypt in its place on a day such as this. On this first day of the month 12, our month, of course, in this type of calendar, different from the Jewish calendar, we know that. But this 12th month, this first day, take up a lamentation against Pharaoh and Egypt. So we're going to do that. I am going to take up a lamentation today with your help. We're going to do it together. And we're going to take up a lamentation against all the powers of Pharaoh and Egypt that have tormented, that have put more, laden the people of God with more labor. Say, these people are idle. They are idle. Let there be more labor put upon them, you know, so they won't have time to say, I'm going to worship the Lord. You know, and you know, we see that even today. Some people say, well, you know, I got to work 2-3 jobs, so I don't have time to go to the fellowship. Well, that's part of Pharaoh's tactics. Let there be more labor laden upon them. Give them more bills to pay. If they are students, load them with projects, exams, and things like that, so they won't have time for the Lord. You know, if they're in their families, give them trouble. You know, let's stir up husband against wife. You know, I mean, in, you know, if they have children, you know, cause the children to go astray, do all kinds of things, you know, just bring confusion upon them so that they will not have time to serve the Lord. Well, that's not our deal. Our deal is Jesus said, look, I am the light of life. I mean, if any man come after me, he shall not walk in darkness. We're not going to be confused. We're not going to do, you know, the devil's not going to put any of these things. The enemy shall not exact upon us in Psalm 89. And the Lord is not going, look, Isaiah 62, you know, is the part, one of the scriptures that we're going to use this morning. And I'm going to begin to go into prayers now. I was just trying to lay a foundation for what I meant by prophetic prayers. But I'm going to, you know, we're going to turn it loose now and coming, you know, full force, you know, against the enemy of righteousness. And one of the biggest enemies of righteousness, of course, is, we know that, the mystery of iniquity, right? That's been operating since the fall until now. The children of God must come into their kingdom position and begin to bring in everlasting righteousness. But to do that, you know, we have even little things to overcome first. We can't overcome big things if we don't overcome little things. You can read that in Jeremiah chapter 12, verse 5. In Jeremiah chapter 12, verse 5, the scripture says that, look, if you contend, I mean, if you run against footmen and they weary you, well, how are you going to contend against horses then? You know, and if in the land of peace, wherein you trusted, you couldn't hold your own. What are you going to do when all hell breaks loose? You know, Jordan overswells his banks and everything, or cataclysmic upheavals and evil all around. What are you going to do then if you couldn't even hold your own? You know, so that means even in little things, we got to get the victory before we even talk about even big things. Got to get the victory every time. Glory to God. You know, so Isaiah 62 says, look, enough is enough already. For Zion's sake, I will no longer hold my peace, you know, and I am going to not rest until the righteousness thereof go forth as brightness and the salvation thereof as a lamp that burneth. Hallelujah. And the Lord said, thou shalt be a crown of glory in the hand of the Lord. Woo. And a royal diadem. We talked about that few days ago. A royal diadem in the hand of thy God. Thou shalt no more be termed forsaken, neither shall thy land be turned desolate. I did a room several weeks ago called Hephzibah and Beulah. Because the Lord thou delighted in thee, and thy land shall be married. And the Lord said, look, I have sworn with my own right hand. This is in verse 8 of Isaiah 62. By the arm of my own strength, surely I will no more give thy corn to be meat for thy enemies. Enough already. You know, thy oppressors, Pharaoh and Egypt, enough. And the sons of the stranger shall not drink thy wine anymore, for the which thou hast labored. But those of you that have gathered it, you will eat it, and you will praise the Lord. And you, though have brought it together, you will drink in the courts of my holiness, saith the Lord. Glory to God. You talk about restoring back to God's people that which the enemy, the cankerworm, the caterpillar, the palmerworm, and the locust have eaten. God said, I have sworn by myself, by my right hand. You know, that I will do unto Pharaoh all these things. The lamentation that Ezekiel took up against him, I will do unto him. And I will begin to do it on the first day of this 12th month as the word of the Lord came to Ezekiel. Prophesy against Egypt and take up a lamentation against Pharaoh. For all the oppression that you brought against my people, I will also scatter you like the wind. Glory to God. You know, I will put you down. God said, I will take you out. And when I shall do these things, you know, my people shall rejoice over you. Hallelujah. Now, let us take on our, put on our strength. Put on your beautiful garments, even now. Glory to God. Take, you know, shake off the ashes. You know, we don't need to put ashes on our head. Come on. All that stuff. Bow your head down, put ashes on your head and all that stuff and let the devil walk all over you. No. Enough already. This time around, he said in Isaiah 52 and verse 2, he said, look, shake thyself from thy dust and loose thyself from the bands around your neck. You, yourself. It's time for you to shake yourself. Shake yourself loose. Loose those bands. Grow until those bands snap. Hallelujah. You know, when you grow in the stature of the Lord, those bands will snap off because your muscles are growing, everything's growing. All the things that devil put on you will just snap off. Hallelujah. Can't do it anymore. Enough already. Thank you, Jesus. So we're going to take up our lamentation against Pharaoh this morning. Yes, we're going to take up, you know, the word of the Lord against Pharaoh this morning. Are you ready? Are you ready to do it? You know, do you know the ordinances of heaven? Do you know how to command the works of God's hands so that the dominion might be set upon the earth? That's really the secret. You know, if you can pierce and enter into the real place where real power is, which is in the heavens. And how do we do it? We do it by the word of God. Because the Bible says, forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in the heavens. You know, so the word of God is already settled in the heavens. You know, but let it also be settled in our hearts. Is the word of God settled in your heart? Do you know that God is able to do these things and take up a lamentation this morning against Pharaoh and Egypt and all the things that they, all the affliction that they have brought against the people of God? Well, absolutely. And that's what we are going to do here this morning. Glory to God. Psalm 119, verse 89. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in the heaven. And if you can enter into that realm, you know, where the word of God is already settled and you can command the works of his hands at that level, that you can set the dominion thereof upon the earth. I'm not trying to be mysterious or anything, just saying it exactly, you know, as the word of God says it. And that's what we are going to do this morning. And the Lord said, I will give you double for your trouble. Hallelujah. Now, all the things that the enemy are put against you and so forth, and the Lord, and this is consistent, you know, consistent with the things that we've seen in the Bible. When God, he said, you know, the Lord, the Bible says, look, when the Lord turned our captivity, we were all like them that dreamt. When the Lord turned the story of Job around, you know, the Bible says, Lord, you've heard, you know, all of the afflictions of Job, but you have seen the end of the Lord. At the end, the Lord did tremendous things, right? You know, we've seen even the story of this Ezekiel. This Ezekiel man, he knew not only how to take up lamentation against evil, but he also knew how to call things into existence. Read his story. Read his encounter in Ezekiel chapter 37. Read the encounter between Ezekiel, the Lord, and the dry bones. You know, this man, he figured out how to prophesy those dry bones back into life. He didn't know it at first because the Lord asked him, son of man, can these bones live again? He said, well, I don't know, but thou knowest. And then the Lord told him how to do it. And he figured it out. And once he figured it out, he said, I prophesied as I was commanded. Glory to God. You know, once you know, figure it out, you take that word, you turn it around into a prophetic prayer. That's what prophetic prayers are. You take the word. You can't pray anything. I've been teaching it forever and in this room. You cannot pray anything. You cannot command anything and cause it to come to pass when the Lord commands it not. You'll find that in Lamentation 3 and 37. Who is it that saith and it comes to pass when the Lord has not commanded it? You know, so you can't. So that's where you start. You start with the word. You figure out what the Lord has already commanded in his word. Like this one that he has commanded, you know, shame upon Pharaoh and Egypt. He has commanded that he's going to take him out because of what he had done to the children of God. Well, once you figure out that that's what God is saying, then you begin to say that same things in prayer. That's called prophetic prayers. Hallelujah. You know, and when you know the word of the Lord, you can actually prophesy the word of the Lord. That's what Ezekiel did. You know, God told him, you know, prophesy unto these bones, you know, and prophesy unto the wind, prophesy upon the bones, and then prophesy unto the winds. And he did exactly that. So I prophesied as I was commanded. Well, can you do the same? Can you prophesy upon the dry bones? Can you prophesy unto the wind as you are commanded? That's right. Use the word of God to do exactly that. You know, that's how it works. And that's what we call prophetic prayer. So ladies and gentlemen, let's do it. I welcome every one of you into the room. And I invite you, you know, let's do it together. I want you to come, you know, and let's do it together. Come to the stage and let's do this together. You know, I'm done with my lesson. I want to make this more of a prayer room today because of the topic. It's prophetic prayers. And we got to, you know, we got to prophesy this thing with our mouth. It's what we say, you know. Remember, we read it, as thou hast declared in my ears, so will I do unto you. So that's what we're going to do. So if you would like to join us in this prophetic prayer session, I want you to come and join us on stage. I will call out some things as the Lord gives me. And we will declare it. And you can do your own prophetic declaration as well. You know, remember, lose thyself from the bands around your neck. You don't need anybody. You can do it yourself. Shake yourself from the dust. You got to do it. Glory to God. You know, and sometimes God gives some anointing or some anointed person to help you out. But first and foremost, you can do it yourself. And also, you can put it in the chat room. And believe God with us today. So I want you to take a minute, put it in the chat room, and come to the stage as well. And let's do this thing together. And let's believe God this morning. It is a good day. It is the first day of the 12th month. On such a day like that, God told Ezekiel to take a lamentation against the forces of darkness. And so on a day like this, we are taking a lamentation against the forces of darkness. So, you know, I need some prayer warriors up on here. And let's do it together. Glory to God. Come on, let's do it together. Hallelujah. This is the hour of power. How do we know that we have power? Well, because Jesus said it. Luke 10 and 19. Behold, I give you power over all the power of the enemy. And nothing shall by any means hurt you. I give you power to tread upon serpents and scorpions. And to have power over all the power of the enemy. I have given you power, he said, in my name. You know, it's called power of attorney. We can act in his name. We can act by his name. And we can act through his name. and for his name. Notice all of that. In his name, by his name, through his name, and for his name. And we can do great things for the Lord to bring glory to him and to set the record straight. You know that enough already. You know, I'm not going to let the enemy take my corn anymore. I am not going to let, look, even if you have children, you know, that are wayward, which the enemy has put, you know, put in traps and so forth. We have promises from God, you know, and I love it when a parent can know how to stand in the gap, you know, for their children. Jeremiah 31 and verse 16 and 17. Thus saith the Lord, refrain thy voice from weeping and thine eyes from tears, for thy work shall be rewarded, saith the Lord. Your work over these children, the labor that you have labored, it shall be rewarded, and they shall come again from the land of the enemy. And there is hope in thy hand, saith the Lord, that thy children shall come again to their own border. Isn't that wonderful? You know, you take that word and you prophetically use it in prayers over your children or grandchildren or whatever, you know, and you begin to pray it because the Lord already said it. That's a prophetic prayer. You take any promise in this Bible concerning anything and you begin to declare it. You begin to use it. God said, look, put me in remembrance. Isaiah 43 and 26, we read it. Declare it that you may be justified. You use that word, you come in prayer, and that's it. Glory to God. All right. Are you ready, on? You ready?
Yes. Hallelujah.
And I'm going to, you begin to pray. I'm going to ask some of our other prayer warriors that are in the room to join us. Go ahead and start praying. Glory to God.
Glory, glory. Hallelujah. Thank you. Thank you, Lord, for this morning. Thank you for this house waking us up in the morning. Thank you for giving us the power, Lord, to approach unto you. Thank you, Lord, for calling us at this time, oh Lord. Father, you have given us the power, Lord, to come before you in prayer. And you said, whatsoever we ask in prayer, we are able to accomplish, because you have given us that power. And Lord, you said we should take up a wailing. Lord, take up a lamentation. Lord, and lament over all the things that are going on around us. You said, teach your neighbors even how to lament and how to wail. Lord, you hear us when we begin to wail and lament upon all the evil that is going on around us. And you will give us victory. Even as your word say, Lord, for the mountains we take up a weeping and a wailing, for the habitations of the wilderness and in the lamentation. Yes, Lord, the mountain himself we take up a wailing. Father, we command the clouds to begin to clap their hands. Even the waters to clap their hands. We command the mountains to praise the Lord. Father, we command every element to begin to praise the Lord. Father, we know that you have given us power over all the powers of the element of the earth, Lord of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt us. Father, we begin to put into remembrance your name. Lord, everything that you have spoken, you have given us power over all the powers of the enemy. And nothing shall by any means hurt us. Father, Lord, we take authority and dominion over principalities and powers, over spiritual wickedness. We tell them and put them in notice that we are on command. We are over them in the name of Jesus, that God has put us over them. Lord has put under our feet all the powers of the enemy. And nothing shall by any means hurt us. We take authority and dominion right now over every elemental spirit, over spirit of infirmity. And Lord, our bodies, oh Lord, cannot be infirmed or infected by any disease or any disease of the Egyptians. Father, we begin to command healing upon everyone. You said healing is the food of the children, and we are your children. Therefore, Lord, we command healing. We speak life into every dead cell in the body. Every cell that has been declared cancerous, we pray life into it in the name of Jesus. Cancer, we have no power over our bodies. Sickness, we have no power over this, our bodies. Father, our bodies is the temple of the Holy Spirit. That's what you said, and that's what is going to be. Our bodies is the temple. It's your temple to dwell in. Lord, we are your temple. Therefore, Lord, dwell in us, O Lord, richly. Father, that we may worship you. The dead cannot praise you. Only the living can praise you. Amen. Therefore, we begin to declare life. We declare life into our bodies. We declare life into our cells, into our bloodstream. We declare life into it. No evil shall befall us or our family members in the name of Jesus. We take authority and over principalities and powers. We put them under the control of the Holy Spirit right now. We can put them under the control of the power of God. Father, we thank you, Lord, that you are our God. You say, who shall I find? Lord, you have find us. Send us, O Lord. The battle is fierce. Oh, the battle is fierce. Lord, give us the power over the powers of the enemy. You have given us the power. Help us to use this power. And Lord, to conquer and to put in control every elemental spirit, everything that has been set to oppress your people, we relieve every oppression, every spirit of oppression, every spirit on the job to oppress them, to make them look like they are free indeed. He said, whom the Son of Man shall set free is free indeed. You are free by the word of the Lord. The Lord has made you the head and not the tail. You are the head on your job. You are the head in your situation. The Lord has put you as head. And our children, Lord, yes, they are great. Yes, you say your children shall be great. So they shall do great things. They shall accomplish great things in the name of Jesus. Father, you said, oh Lord, Father, we shall stand in the land of the living. We will live. We will not die. So declare the glory of the Lord. Thy word say we shall live and we will not die. Therefore, Lord, we pronounce life upon everyone in this room. Life to live and not die. In the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you, Lord. You say we shall live in your name. We shall accomplish so many things. Lord, your word is powerful. Your word is great. Your word is eternal. Lord, we speak your life. We speak life into us. As we go into this day, we take authority into this month of December. Lord, even as you have spoken in your ears, so shall you do. Father, in the name of Jesus, we proclaim goodness and mercy. It shall follow us all the days of our life. And we shall dwell in the land of the living. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. We have victory. We have victory. Victory is ours over principalities. Victory is ours. Father, we have joy untold. Father, joy. Let it spring forth in our heart, Lord, every day. Lord, and we shall depart from the spirit of iniquity. Lord, it will not have power over us. Father, we live above principalities. Sin, we have no power over us. Sin, we have no power over our children. Sin, we have no power over our household. Father, our husbands and the families, there will be peace in the home. There will be no argument in the home. Father, there will be peace and quietness and tranquility. That is what.
Hallelujah.
Jesus, we thank you. We bless your name. We give you glory and honor. Let it be ascribed unto your name, O Lord. For thou alone art God. There is none beside you. Lord, you are the one that gives us the authority to speak. And you said the word is in your mouth. Open your mouth and speak it. Speak life into your children. Speak life into yourself. Lord, we will live. No sickness or disease. We have power over us in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Father, we speak to our organs, to our every organ that you are placed in this body. They will function as you have proposed it to function. No evil shall befall us. In the name of Jesus,
we pray. Amen. We glorify your name. Hallelujah. I want everybody, thank you for that prayer. I want everybody that's on stage, let's pray together. You know, let's pray. Let's make it an old-fashioned prayer meeting. Open your mouth and begin to pray. Call into being things that are even not. Hallelujah. As God will bring them into your, we've given the background already. So as God will bring it into your remembrance, the things that you need to declare about, yes, prophetically pray over those things today. Start with your family. Pray over every one of them. And then turn around and pray for your brothers and your sisters. Hallelujah. In the Lord and the body of Christ. Let's begin to do it. I want to people on stage, open your mouth and begin to pray. Hallelujah. There's a lot of things to pray for. And pray even against the iniquity that's done in the land. You know, God is looking for those who will sigh over the abominations that are done in the land. And he will set them apart according to the word of God in Ezekiel chapter 9. He will set them apart. Incorn rider will mark them and set them apart. For Father, we thank you in the name of Jesus today and every day. Lord, we call upon your name for your children. Hallelujah. And we come against the forces of the enemy, the Pharaoh and Egypt that has tormented your people. It is enough. Hallelujah. I will no longer give thy corn, you know, to be meat for your enemies. For the which thou hast labored, you will now eat it, saith the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You will build houses, you will inhabit them. In the name of Jesus. I come against the plans of the enemy to eat the corn of God's people. The things that the people of God have labored for, they themselves will eat it. In the name of Jesus. Glory to God. Your hands have done it. Hallelujah. God will give it to you. It is a gift of God that a man should eat and enjoy the good of all his labor. God will give you that gift in the name of Jesus. The desires of your heart, even on today, that the enemy has held back, to begin to release them in the name of Jesus. God, release your people. Release your people. Release your people. Release your people. In the name of Jesus, I come against Pharaoh and Egypt. Glory to God. I come against even all the affliction that the devil has put upon the people of God. That said, you know, I will give them more labor. I will give them more guilt. I will give them more trouble so they have time to follow or worship the Lord. I come against you in the name of Jesus. Bring rest to the Lord, your generation. In Jesus, bring rest to your people. Come against bring rest to your people, Lord. In the name of Jesus. Plans of wickedness begin to break them. In the name of Jesus. Oppressive spirits begin to break them. In the name of Jesus. Every imagination of the devil, rulers of the darkness of this world, still ritual wickedness.
We know that you do this and so much more. We continue to bless your name.
In the name of Jesus, I break the bands
that will stop us from serving you. O Lord, raise your standard against it in the name of Jesus. O Lord, we pray. Maybe anything, maybe a sickness, maybe anything at all, will raise your heavenly standard against it in the name of Jesus.
People of God must be in safety and must be secure. Hallelujah. Lord, you will keep us in perfect peace. Keep your children in perfect peace. He said, I will make a differentiation between you and the world. I begin to separate between you. I put a division. Glory to God. And your people, Pharaoh. Hear the word of the Lord, ye Pharaoh, and hear the word of the Lord, ye land of Egypt, that I will oppress the people of God. God puts a division between his people and yours. In the name of Jesus, all the sicknesses that I put upon the Egypt shall not come upon the children of God. Sudden sickness, sudden illness, sudden sorrow, sudden tragedy, it shall not come upon your people.
Thank you. Thank you, God, for answered prayers. Lord, I thank you that you are going to do this
peace
so much
in the valley for your children. Thank you for so many. You said, Lord, upon every dwelling place of Mount Zion,
upon all the heavenly places,
that be the glory
you said that we would do this and so much more.
shield, the shield of life.
Let your glory surround us.
In the name of Jesus,
we march
forward. We march forward even into this new month. In the name of Jesus, we have the victory. Glory to God. Let this December be a month to remember.
Thank you, Lord, because you are God. Thank you, Father. You've done this so much.
Let it be a month to remember in the name of Jesus.
Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus.
We give you, Lord, all the praise. We give you all the glory, Lord.
In Jesus' name
we have prayed. Amen. Amen. Thank you for being here. Listen, those of you on stage, I'll give you some time to give your reaction and voice, you know, your comments, you know, as we over this, you know, what we have discussed this today and what we are praying about. And as we go into this new month, it's a month of victory. It's a month also even of rulership. Praise God. You know, rulership. It's a month of rulership. So, you know, let's take dominion over the things that God has given us dominion over. And let's not put our necks under the yoke of bondage again. Praise God. Hallelujah. So we're so glad. Brother Yomi, it's good to see you again. It's been a while. So how are you doing? And God bless you. You have the mic.
Right. Thank you. Thank you so much. Yeah, it's great to be back amongst God's people. Definitely glad to be back. So as per my comment, I'll keep it short and brief. You know, I just wanted to, one of the things that spoke to me was, you know, there was a lot of good stuff, right? But one that particularly jumped out at me was dominion, right? You know, the dominion God has given us. And a lot of time, you know, a lot of Christian falls, they fall into that trap. You know, you keep praying over what God has given you dominion for, right? I mean, we pray for cancer, we pray for this thing, but, you know, when you have a headache, you don't pray. Most of us don't. We don't pray. You take an aspirin because we have dominion over certain things. So it is always good, you know, when God's people can exercise that dominion that we have over the things that we, you know, we've been given. And the rest, you know, we can call on the higher power for that, but at least exert the dominion that we have. So I yield back my mic.
Thank you. Thank you for sharing that. Yeah, dominion is an attribute that God committed unto Adam from the beginning, and he wants us to have, which we lost, but we must get it back. That's the gospel of the kingdom. You know, and this gospel of the kingdom must be preached in all the world, for a witness to all nations, and then the end shall come. And we're coming back into that dominion. The dominion also means that, look, God doesn't have to be the one that will do it for you. That means you can do it for yourself. You know, that's why he says in Philippians 4:6-7, you know, commit your prayers unto the Lord with thanksgiving, and then the peace of God, you know, will give your hearts, keep your hearts and minds, you know. After we've prayed over the thing, God will give you peace. You have dominion over that situation. You go move on, you know. So God will give us dominion, the ability to do things, you know, for ourselves. You know, the Bible actually says that those to whom the word of God came, they are called gods. Jesus said it himself. He said, does not the scripture say that to him to whom the word of God comes are called gods in your law? Why do you then think it's strange that I should call myself, you know, the son of God, if I came out of God? You know, so we have the ability to get into higher realms. We just have to understand it. And now these things are difficult for people to digest because the culture and our belief systems over the years have taught us differently. We don't actually believe that these things can be so, and because we haven't really been taught to enter into the realm of these possibilities. But, you know, God is bringing this knowledge back. Because we got to get back to the place that Adam fell from. This is what Christ came to do. You know, Christ came, and yesterday we went through the prayer that Jesus prayed in John 17, called out a number of things there. You know, Jesus said that as God has sent me, even so send I you. I was praying to the Father and said, as you have sent me, so send I them. And I asked the people, I said, well, if we think that the only reason that Jesus came to die was to die for our sins, then what is it that he was sending the people to do? To go and die for the sins of the world? No. But he said, as you have sent me, so send I you. You know, there was a purpose, you know, that he came to introduce the kingdom of God. You know, from the time, Bible says, Matthew 4, 17, from that time, Jesus began to preach the kingdom of God has arrived. It's at hand. He told the disciples to do the same. And we must understand what it is. And we are coming into that authority and that dominion. You know, initially, all we can do muster right now is authority, which is delegated power. And, you know, if we can do that, if we can use that right, that's fine. Then we may eventually get into dominion, you know, but we need to do that. We need to understand where, you know, the power that God has given us and which Christ came and purchased back. He paid the ransom for the life of the world. You know, he gave his own flesh for it. And when he did, he took captivity captive. He got everything back, put everything back in order. And he's now trying to position us to understand it. So dominion is very powerful, you know, but, you know, he cannot give this dominion to people who are not regenerated in their minds. We have to come into the character of God, the image and the likeness of the Christ. So we thank you, Yomi, for coming and your comments. God bless you. Pearl, it's good to see you again. I haven't seen you in a while. I know you told me why, but good to have you here. How you doing?
Pearl, I'm doing great.
Okay, well, that's Yomi. I'm now talking to Pearl. Thank you. Sister Pearl, you there? Hello, Sister Pearl. Are you there? Okay, maybe she can't speak. Well, I look in the audience. I salute every one of you, Temi Tokwe and Mami and Sam and Alexis and Lola and Kolapo and Dana and Grace.
Pastor, can you hear me now?
And Elisha and Michelle and Mary. You know, I salute every one of you and I thank you for being here. Yeah. Well, what's going on,
Pastor? Can you hear me now? Oh, good morning. Good morning, everyone. I'm so happy to be back on the line. Pastor, thank you so much for this wonderful word. I kind of, I missed part of it, but I just need to give a testimony. First of all, just the scripture that you gave, Psalm 126, when the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion, we were like them that dream. Our mouth was filled with laughter and our tongue with singing. And, you know, in the past few days, in the past few months, actually, you know, my mouth is becoming, it started to fill with laughter. In the beginning of the year, Pastor preached about living in the prophetic, and throughout this year, I did not get what that sermon meant. It didn't click initially. And I kept revisiting it. What does that mean? What does that mean? So throughout the year, God has just been revealing it to me, living in the prophetic. And I've seen that truly this year, my life I have been living in the prophetic, but as wonderful things have begun to happen for me, something happened, yes, 2 days ago. And, you know, I was thinking, okay, God, I just thank you. Things are coming to pass, but Satan tried to come against it. I had a situation where I went to my son's basketball game, and how pastor said, when God gives you dominion, some of us don't understand the dominion he gave us. And I feel like I used my own authority for negative, and it negatively impacted my son without realizing it. As I was watching my son in the game, I kept telling my sister, I'm afraid he's going to hit his mouth. He didn't wear his mouthpiece. He should have worn his mouthpiece. I hope his mouth doesn't get hurt. 3 times I said that, somebody ended up knocking my son's tooth, and his tooth was fractured. you know, as I was going, I was just panicking because my insurance expired yesterday. It was the day before my insurance expired. It was at nighttime, trying to figure out, God, what's going on? Why is this happening? You know, why is this happening to me? So I prayed and I asked some of the brethren to pray, you know, with me, and just started asking God. And God just started working everything out for me. He made it to where one of my friends who worked in a dental office tried to help me. Then my son's father ended up getting the emergency dentist, and God made everything fall in line to where everything was taken care of yesterday within my within that day that my insurance would expire. But also his dad's insurance can now pick it up, you know, because I was thinking I was going to have to fork out thousands to take care of it. So God provided. But also one thing, one of the brethren told me, it was like, you cannot open your mouth to say, there's power in the words you say. When you think things like that, you just have to pray it away. There's dominion. I learned a very big lesson. I will not verbalize negative things because I see that there's dominion. There's power in my words. And Pastor, this word is right on point. From now on, if thought comes up, I will strike it down, use scripture against it, because it affected my son. Now, you know, they try to give a report that, oh, you know, that they were able to push the tooth back into place and give him braces temporarily. And they're saying, oh, the tooth might die. I reject it. That tooth will not die. It will live in Jesus' name. His smile will be normal again. And, you know, now I'm speaking in the opposite. So I just thank God for this very big lesson. It was a terrifying lesson. Thank God my son didn't lose his tooth. But I also know that my mouth will continue to be filled with laughter, my tongue with singing, and they will say among the heathen that God has done great things for me. And I'm so, so grateful. Thank you for this word. You guys have a blessed day. Happy new month. I'm excited to see how this year ends.
Amen. Thank you so much. And yes, you know, life and death are in the power of that tongue. Proverbs 18 and 21. We got to be careful with that tongue. Well, I'm glad. You know, I'm glad that, was that Josh or was that Stefan?
It was Stefan.
Oh, okay. Well, you know, praise God. Well, we're glad that, everything worked out, and we pray that everything will be fine for him. No, his tooth will not die. None of that will, you know, the Lord will restore and it'll be back. You know, we may go through, you know, some things sometimes, you know, but we still cry out to the Lord nonetheless. You know, when Peter was sinking and took his eyes off the Lord and started to sink, well, he cried out to the Lord, you know, and he stepped out by faith initially, but took his eyes off the Lord and started to see the waves boisterous. And then he started to sink, but he cried out to the Lord and the Lord reached out and saved him. You know, so anytime we can always cry out to the Lord. The ideal thing is for us to keep our eyes on the Lord, but regardless, you know, even if we falter, our mouth says the wrong thing or whatever, we can quickly come back and, you know, bounce back against that. I think that was a good lesson. I taught about that one time. When it was, I don't know how many days ago, and I was teaching about the nevertheless and the even now. You know, the scripture says in Hebrews 4 and 12 that in the word of God is able to divide asunder between soul and spirit. And I taught on that and say your soul is where all those soulish things happen. Like, oh, my son's going to get his teeth knocked out. You know, oh, this is going to happen. Oh, that's going to happen. Oh, this is, you know, all the soul has all those emotions and things, fear, doubt, unbelief, you know, anger, you know, this sadness, sorrow, joy, all of that is in the soul. But that spirit, you know, you put that word is separate between the soul and the spirit. The spirit will latch onto the word despite what the soul is thinking or feeling. And it's not how we feel or what we think. It's what God's word says. So that word will divide between the soul and the spirit. That's what it means. If you ever wondered what it means. And, you know, Peter can say, well, Lord, you know, I've been out here all night long. I caught nothing. That's the soul. So saying, well, there's no fish tonight. I mean, we've been here all night long. That's not going to, but then the spirit
will say, nevertheless, at thy word, because now he remembers it's the master, and the spirit will latch onto that. You know, Martha can also say, well, Lord, you know, you could have been here. My brother would have not died, you know. But nevertheless, even now, if you ask God anything, he would do it. You know, so when our soul is famished and our soul is weary and our soul is fearful and our soul is thinking this and that and so forth like that, don't let your mouth speak what your soul is thinking. You know, use the word of God to divide between the soul and the spirit, and just let your spirit latch onto the word. And you just say the word. You know, that's it. And put the soul in its place, which is under. The spirit needs to be above, not the soul. You know, so, you know, we need to learn how to do that. And as we do it more and more, it'll become second place. You know, we'll be able to recognize that the soul is getting out of hand, you know, in being emotional and all these things, and put it in its place. Let your spirit take a hold of the word of God and say, well, nevertheless, the word of God says this. You know, so thank God for your son. And I know God will bring him a complete and full recovery in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Well, good morning, everyone. What a day, you know, and let this month be a month. It's called December. Let it be a month to remember, you know, for you. You know, remember, mark down this day also. You know, that we took up a lamentation against Pharaoh and against Egypt today on this first day of this 12th month, according to Ezekiel 32 and verses 1 through whatever those verses we read. We took up a lamentation. Pharaoh and Egypt has done enough against us. So now it's our turn, you know, to take the upper hand and put the affliction in its place. Enough of that already. You know, we will now arise and do valiantly for the Lord. Because the people that do know their God, they shall be strong and do exploits, according to Daniel 11 and 32. So this is the time for us to be strong. The number 12 is very significant in the Bible. You know, God used that number many, many times. You know, Abraham, you know, and all of that. You know, we know that Jacob eventually had, you know, 12, you know, sons, which will become the, what we call the patriarchs. Even Ishmael, he also had, you know, 12 princes were born of him. We know that Jesus picked 12 disciples and all of that. We see that in Revelation 12, you know, the woman was, you know, crowned with a crown of 12 stars. And we see that even the beautiful city will have 12 foundations and 12 gates and all of these things. And they are upon them the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. And so it denotes many times, you know, governmental authority and positioning. It's, you know, it's not always any number does not always represent good all the time. It's good and evil. It's all mixed up. But a lot of it is good. And on a day such as this, let's latch onto the good part. You know, the crown of 12 stars, you know, that represents diadem. A diadem is a crown that has jewels in it. And the moon under her feet represents authority that God has given her. You know, that's the church elect. So let's rise up to that authority. And let's walk in the same. And let's reject anything that is, don't let the devil put anything on you. Not this month, not even ever. Going into this month, we've got 1 month left in this year. And let me say this. Some of us started out the year, and what Pearl was talking about, you know, they said, I preached at the beginning of the year. Well, that was not on Clubhouse. It was actually in our local church here in Phoenix. And I said many things. One of them was that, look, this is the year that people of God must walk in the prophetic. You don't need to be a prophet, but you must walk in that prophetic. You don't need to be looking for a prophetic word. And I brought the distinction between looking for a prophetic word here and there, versus walking in the prophetic all the time. You know, and that every one of us can walk in that prophetic once we know how to align ourselves with the Word of God. Let the Word of God saturate your mind. Paul said we have the mind of Christ. Well, do you have the mind of Christ? When you have the mind of Christ, your mind will become prophetic because it's soaked with the Word of God. And every time you declare that word, it's prophetic word. And that's what the Word of God is. You don't need a prophet to tell it to you. You tell it to yourself. You take it out of the Word of God. You tell it to yourself. Don't look for a word here and there. You are always in the Word. Always in the Word. You know, not just one day you look for a word, then the next day you're looking for another word. No. All year long, be in the Word already. In season, out of season, anytime. Just be in the Word. You're always in the zone, if you want to call it that. You know, so that's walking in the prophetic. And the Holy Spirit, He will be dropping nuggets in your mind. You just have to practice the presence of the Lord. When you practice His presence like that, you find out that you talk to the Holy Spirit all day long. He'll talk to you. You start practicing little things, you know, little things in your closet. Talk to the Holy Spirit, even things that don't matter. Just talk to Him. You know, you say, well, okay, I'm going out today. Should I wear blue or white? You begin to drop it into your mind. And you say, well, it doesn't matter. Well, you may not think it matters. But if you listen and you put on the white instead of the blue, or you put on the blue instead of the white, you may find out that later on, somebody will tell you, oh, the Lord showed me you're coming today and I saw you wearing blue. You know, it's happened multiple times. So, you know, listen to the Lord. Go to the store. Listen to Him. You know, just practice His presence. That's walking in the prophetic. You know, my sheep hear my voice. When you are hearing the voice, that's prophetic. You know, this is what we're seeking from some prophet to tell us, is that word. But when you are hearing it yourself, you are already walking in the prophetic. So hear that word. You know, live in the word. Be the word. Just be the word already, and the word will transform us. Doesn't the Bible say that we are born not of corruptible things, but of the incorruptible word of God? That's how we are born into the kingdom. You know, so walk in that word, know that word, you know, and just be that word already, you know, so, and that's walking in the prophetic. And so when we pray prophetic prayers, it's the same thing. We take that word that we already have and we use it to pray over situations and declare over situations. We declare over the works of His hands. That's a prophetic prayer. You know, and when you do that, you leave it alone. You know, you don't go dig it up. Jesus said, look, the kingdom of God is like seed which a man planted. And he put it in the ground. He doesn't know how it grows. But the thing brings forth seed of itself. You know, first, it could bring out a little blade and then the corn and then the full ear, you know, but the thing grows by itself. But when it is grown, He immediately puts in the sickle, you know, because the time is ripe, you know. So listen to this, Mark chapter 4. Let me read it to you, starting from verse 26. Jesus said, so is the kingdom of God as if a man should cast seed into the ground. Now that seed is the word of God. You know, when you put it in, you sleep, you rise up night and day, the seed will bring forth of itself. You know, you don't need to go dig it up and see whether it's growing. No, put it out there and let it bring forth of itself. The word of God is quite capable of sustaining itself. It doesn't need you to go figure out whether it's growing or germinating. Put it out there. And nobody in real sense, nobody with any sense in the real world will plant something and then go dig it up to see if it's growing. What you do instead is you weed around it. You make sure it has nutrients. You make sure you water it, make sure it gets some sunshine and so forth. You know, you make provision around it, but you don't go dig it up and look to see whether it's growing, because it will die if you do that. You know, so the earth will bring forth of itself, you know, first the blade and then the ear and then the full corn in the air. It's a process too. You know, it doesn't bring the full corn out immediately. Elijah, when he was looking for the abundance of rain, which he said, I already heard in the spirit, abundance of rain, but it didn't come with an abundance of rain at first. It came with as a little cloud about the size of a man's hand. And even it took some time, sent his servant out 7 times to go look for it. But in the meantime, he kept praying, kept believing God. And this is what we must do. Just because God promised something doesn't mean you're just going to fold your arms and get it. No, because the devil is going to fight that thing. And in fact, everything that God promises, that devil will fight it tooth and nail. You know, I've taught that in this room. You know, you're praying for a promise, so you get it. You say, I want a job, you get the job, and then and the job, all hell breaks loose. Everybody hates you on it. You pray for this and that, and then you have it, and then trouble comes with it. You know, it's just like that. So, but you must live that prophetic prayer lifestyle. Lifestyle. That you are always declaring the word of God. You say to your servant again, go and look again. You know, because I know it is coming. And he goes look and he said, go and look again. And meanwhile, the servant is getting frustrated. I already looked. He said, keep going. You know, so finally he said, I see a cloud for me. And like I said, that's it. Now that's what I'm talking about. You know, so look, it won't happen all at once as a deluge. It will come first like a small cloud and then it begins to grow. Even the kingdom of God, it's like that. Daniel chapter 2, it said a stone cut out of a mountain without hands, which eventually smote the image and then grew to become a great mountain and filled the whole earth. Look at the process. A stone cut out with mountain without hands, you know, and then, you know, eventually grew to become a mountain and then filled the whole earth, you know. So the process, that's how it works. But the whole time you are walking in the prophetic, the whole time you've spoken the word, you let it alone. Jesus said to the fig tree that wasn't producing, no man eat of you anymore. And he just walked away. The disciples were looking. Nothing happened, apparently. You know, and but as soon as Jesus said it, the tree dried up in the roots. But it takes some time for it to actually wither away. So by the time they came back next day, the tree had withered. And said, wow, that tree you crossed yesterday is withered. Jesus said, look, have faith in God. When you just say the word, just go about your business. It's done. It's said. That's it. You know, so that's what prophetic prayers and that's what living in the prophetic means. And that's, you know, that's the life that we must live. And God's calling us back to that. You know, don't be rushing to God only when you have a need. Be in the realm all the time. Walk in his word all the time. Just, you know, declare his word all the time. Glory to God. And even when your soul is feeling down, that's your soul. Don't yield to it. You know, say to your soul, like the psalmist said, oh, my soul, Psalm 42, why art thou disquieted within me? I will yet praise him and I will yet glorify him, for he is the light, you know, of my countenance. I mean, he's the glory. He's why and the lifter of my head. You know, strengthen yourself in the Lord. And arise and shine. Don't ever speak that negative word. Let's put a lid on these negative words. Enough of that. Let's speak only positive things. Let your speech, you know, be with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how to answer every man. And I dare say that you may know how to answer every situation. Do you know that Jesus spoke to situations? The Bible said that he answered and said unto the tree. Jesus answered the tree because the tree wasn't saying something back to him that he wanted to see. So Jesus answered the tree. Jesus spoke to the sea. Jesus spoke to situation. So let your speech always be seasoned with salt also, that you may know how to answer every situation. Have the answer of faith in every situation. What is your answer to the situation that you are in? Or the devil, you know, comes up against you. What's your answer? Well, we said it also when we were teaching on ambassadorship in the kingdom of God. An ambassador must speak the word of the kingdom. Can't speak anything else. You know, no matter what. The ambassador says, well, the United States that I represent does not negotiate with terrorists. Even after they have kidnapped his family, he still cannot negotiate with terrorists. He must speak the word of the kingdom. So So when the enemy comes against you with sickness or some of these things or chip shot you, you know, but you got to speak the word of the kingdom. What does the word say? I will not put any of these sicknesses against you that I put upon the Egyptians. You stay with that word. You find some word that speaks positive life into your situation and you stay with that word and use that word as prophetic prayers. So thank you everyone for joining us. We are at the top of the hour and we are about to close the room, but I see that Sister Veronica, you came up and then you dropped and then you are back. Well, let me see. Do you have something to say? So Veronica, are you there? Okay, well, maybe not. So we, you know, I am going to begin to wind down the room. I want to thank everybody, you know, that has been here to say something. Chioma, I see that you are raising your hand. Come on to the stage. Come on, Sister Chioma. You know, before we go, you have something to say. Come to the stage. What's happening? I just sent you the response to come to the stage. Are you able to come? I know you were raising your hand. Let's try it again. I sent you the invite. Accept it and come to the stage. If that doesn't work, you may want to go out and come back in. I don't know. Sometimes it doesn't work in this app and sometimes it does, but you had your hand raised and I want you to have the opportunity to come to the stage. So let's try that. And I see Sister Rachel. Happy birthday, Sister Rachel. You know, I know yesterday was your birthday and my wife and I talked about it and she was going to send you. I think she did send you the text on our behalf. So happy birthday. Good to see you here. And, you know, let's make it a victorious month for every one of us. You know, let's walk in that prophetic. Let's declare his word and put it out there by faith. Don't worry about it. You know, the word of God will sustain itself. God has, you know, a great company that can publish that word once you speak it. Psalm 68 and verse 11. Put the word out there and let God deal with it. I want to thank Sister Grace for posting the scriptures today. Thank you so much. I know my wife also posted a few. Thank you, everyone, for being here. We appreciate you. This room is here every day, so make a note of it. And we're trusting that by the grace of God, we'll be able to be consistent. Consistency is very hard, folks, in the things of God. It is very hard for you to be consistent. This is the problem with most people. They are not consistent. They will promise God up and down, I'm going to do this thing, but they can't do it because they are not consistent. You know, so that's, it's a challenge to be consistent. Well, you pray for us as we pray for you. We want to be consistent. You know, God, we've been on this club. I've been on this club for over 2 years or maybe going to 2 years. I don't know. But on October 1st, the Lord called for this room. And we've been consistent every day. It's 60 days now since October 1st that we've been here every single day without fail. And we trust that we will be here by the grace of God as long as it is called today. And as long as God gives us the grace, we'll continue to do it. He called for it that we must come and burn wood upon that altar every morning. And so we've been doing it consistently for 60 straight days. I mean, that's the length of, I don't know how many, even in our local church here, you know, because we have so many preachers, you know, I don't preach every week. Yeah, 60 straight days. That's like almost 2-3 years worth of preaching. But we are here by the grace of God. So the Lord is good and we will always be here. So if you are thinking about it, here is the time that we are here in the mornings. If you are in the East Coast in the U.S., it's 6:15 a.m. We try to start it out very early, get it out of the way, and then go on and do other things. You know, that's it. And for us in Arizona, it's 4:15 a.m. It's actually grand rising at that time. And we use it to give God our first fruits for those on the West Coast, it's even earlier, because now they are 1 hour earlier, and it's 3:15. Well, if you can do it, fine. If you're in the UK, it's 11:15 a.m. That's even better. It's almost midday. In the Nigeria, it's even much better. It's 12:15 p.m. So you are just past noon. Maybe you'll be on your break or whatever. Join us if you can, but by the grace of God, we are here every day at that time. And this is the today we are under the House of Faith. Yesterday we were under the Walking with God Club. So we alternate between House of Faith and Walking with God, depending on which topics we are doing. So join the house, join the club, House of Faith, by clicking the greenhouse button at the top. You will get notifications when we start the house, room under the house. You know, if you also want to join the Walking with God Club, you'll have to look for it under my profile. You'll get notifications that way. But if you're following me individually, you don't need to worry about that. Whenever we host any rooms, and my wife, she and I, we do these rooms together. You can follow her as well. We'll get notifications, you know, whatever room platform we host it under. So that's it, folks. And we are ready to take on this new month. You know, and this new month must be subject to you. Hallelujah. Subject, you know, because each day was created for us. We were not created for the day. You know, did you know that even Jesus, you know, when his disciples are walking through, you know, the fields on the day, on a Sabbath day, and they were doing things, and they were always complaining, you know, the Jews, and they were hypocrites, really. Jesus called them hypocrites. He said, look, you will be willing to save your donkey or anything on a Sabbath day. You won't say it's a Sabbath day because they fell into the hole and then leave them till the next day. You go and get them out of there. But because I'm doing something good, you say, you don't want me to do it on Sabbath day. And Jesus used to tell them, they said, look, why are you doing this good thing? Because he went to the temple and healed somebody on a Sabbath day. You know, he also healed a blind man on a Sabbath day. They would tell him, why do you do these things on a Sabbath day? I mean, don't you know the law of Moses and so on? And Jesus would turn around and say to them, look, my Father walketh hitherto, and I also walk. So there is no, my Father did not take a break, you know, and so I am also walking, you know. And then they will say, and then he'll tell them, like, look, the Son of Man is Lord also of the Sabbath. It's Lord of every day. It, you know, the Sabbath was made for man. He told them, Mark 2 and verse 27. The Sabbath was made for man and not man for the Sabbath. The month of November was made for you and not the way our way around. Every day was made for you. The Sabbath was made for, Jesus said, forget all that stuff. You know, you have dominion even over the day. The Son of Man has dominion. And if we are in Christ, whatever he has, we have. Because we are made heirs of God and joint heirs with him. So what he has, we have. So, you know, the Son of Man is Lord also of the Sabbath. So is the Son of Man Lord of the month of December. And that makes it also that the month of December must be subject to you. Don't be driven by the month. You drive the month. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Use the word of God to shape your path through December. How do you like December to be? You know, would you like to be a month of victory? A month where you're looking at every calendar day of the month and you see all kinds of good stuff? Well, yeah, use the word of God for it. That's what's called prophetic prayer. Declare it that thou mightest be justified. Don't let the devil, you know, get an advantage over you. You know, we have the advantage in the name of the Lord. So that's, ladies and gentlemen, that's our room today. Sister Lola, good to see you. Zai Kenya, good to see you again. The room is about to close. And those of you who just joined, you'll have to listen to the replay. If you want to do that, listen. But in case you were not aware of the actual time that we started, or we start these rooms, I think I just announced it. So if you can, be here a little earlier so you can catch the room. And if you can't, you can always listen to the replay. if you have time to do that. And I believe the Lord will bless you. In as much as we are zealous of spiritual gifts, the Bible says, seek that you may excel to the edifying of the body of Christ. And that's by the grace of God what we seek to do. The purpose of this room is to edify the body of Christ, to, you know, call us into attention of the things that are freely given us of God, to bring us into the place where we can demonstrate the fullness of God's character and begin to enter into that dominion, you know, that God gave us from the beginning, from which Adam fell. And so multiple different things in this room, here a little, there a little. It's not always the same subject. You may hear something more than once because the law of, you know, the law of repetition, they say, you know, that's how you get, retain something. Is to, you know, sometimes we repeat it. You know, so, but God's helping us and God will continue to help us. Now, I bless everyone in the name of the Lord that you will have a beautiful day and a great month. You have victory as you go through the rest of the year. And remember, the things that the people of the world go through, it's not your portion. People go through depression during this time of the year. That's not your portion. God said, I will make a differentiation between my people and your people. And remember, we came against Egypt and Pharaoh already today. So all the things that happen, you know, in the world is, you know, negative. That's not yours. You know, it doesn't matter if 1,000 is falling this way and 10,000 that way. You are in the kingdom and it cannot come near you. You know, so let's focus ourselves on that and let's walk in that realm throughout the rest of this year. But while you are doing it, you give glory to God because it's not you. It's not by your power. It's not by your mind. It's God, you know, but we make no apologies about that. You know, these are the things that Jesus paid for, you know, so we enjoy them freely. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Well, thank you all so much for being here. We are going to call it a day for now and we'll be back tomorrow by the grace of God. Same time. So come back and visit us. We're back tomorrow by the same time. Same time tomorrow by the grace of God. Lord bless everyone. Thank you once again for joining. And this room will now be closing in 5, 4, 3, 2, and 1. Have a blessed day, everyone. Shalom.